Good afternoon and welcome to the Grace Hour. We are a daily program that dives into believers' daily challenges and helps all of us to learn how to walk by faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I am joined in the studio today with Pastor Stephen Ciabelli, and we'll be talking about the mind. We've been talking about the mind all week. We've been thinking about thinking, right? There's a word for that that's called metacognitive. It literally means to think about what you think about. We've been thinking about what we think about as believers with the mind of God. Today is the last part of that program. We've been thinking a lot about that, Pastor Belly, about thinking and what that means. I think many of us don't even understand how we're designed, how God has made us to think. So we just assume that our mind is involved, but somehow it just kind of happens.
Is this the conversational part?
Somehow.
I'm just going to have a good time today. I hate to even use the word. I think.
Uh-oh.
I think
in trouble already.
I mean, thinking is where everything begins. Dr. Stevens once did a message. It never left me from 1977. And it was about how a thought goes into the conscious mind, into the subconscious mind. A decision is made. An action takes place. The action is also now brought back into the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. Then there's a series of actions. And then after a series of actions, you have a pattern of thinking, and it actually ends up being an identity. So every identity began with a thought.
Okay.
And when you think about that, like somebody has an identity, okay, wherever they are, whatever their identity is, it all really began with one thought, one thought, and how important it is. Now, what if that thought is from God? Amen and hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But if that thought is not from God, you can understand why people can go out and do some things. Sometimes we see people doing some outrageous things in society. Mm-hmm. And we just sit back and we can't understand how that could take place. But it all began with a thought. Someplace there was a thought that they received and they allowed to be in their mind, and they dwelt on it. They meditated. I forgot the word meditation. They meditated upon it. It became part of their conscious and subconscious being. Then it became an action and a series of actions, and then it became a pattern which developed into an identity. Mm-hmm. And so this can happen with anything, with anything. You know, it's kind of like in any area. You just think about it, in any area at all. So I can get a thought that comes from God. God loves me.
Right.
And I can receive that thought, meditate on that thought, make a decision to say yes to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then all of a sudden, what takes place? I have this brand new identity. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go through the next few steps of it. But it begins with a thought. Mm-hmm. Salvation began with a thought for each one of us. Somebody said something, or we read something, and the thought entered into our minds. And that thought had a progressive movement and became a part of my identity. It begins with you think about a person that has a problem with drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. It all began with a thought. It all began with a thought someplace up the line. I don't know when it was or where it was. And so thoughts are important. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, 6, and 7, casting down vain imaginations. Mm-hmm. And doing what? Casting down vain imaginations, mm-hmm. and every high thing, mm-hmm. that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, watch this, every thought into captivity to the obedience, under hearing obedience of Christ. How many thoughts?
How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you capture every thought?
Well, here comes a thought, mm-hmm. my way. And it's a thought about maybe I'm taking an airplane trip.
Okay.
And the airplane starts to shudder when I'm there. It starts to shake. And all of a sudden, you get a thought about this plane's going down.
Yes.
And before you know it, you're trying to figure out how you could, you know, get out of the plane when you're underwater. You know?
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. No, but a thought begins. Maybe I'm in church and I hear something about learning the Bible.
Okay.
And that thought, through that process that we just spoke about, mm-hmm. becomes something that I end up doing. It becomes an action or an activity or an identity in my life. And I think that's what can happen. One day, somebody initiated, I can remember the day, mm-hmm. somebody initiated to me about smoking marijuana, okay? And the thought came in, and then I considered it, and then I began a 16-year horrifying experience with narcotics, okay? Mm. But it all began with, I remember the person, it was a cousin of mine, mm-hmm. began with a thought, and the thought came in, and instead of rejecting the thought, mm-hmm. I received the thought.
Okay, so help me out here. I want to make this connection between the body and the mind, the thinking, and maybe it'd be good to talk about the beginning of the parts of the soul, because where the mind fits in, mm-hmm. the average believer, they assume all they have is a mind. They don't know that there's more to their mind than their mind. So as far as the soul goes, what other parts are connected with that thinking?
Let's go back to the trichotomous of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We are spirit, soul, and body.
Let me read that for you. Let me read that out. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly."
Holy.
"And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
So he wants to set you apart holy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we think about, first of all, the spirit, the mm-hmm. soul, and the body. The spirit is what can become God conscious.
Okay.
When the spirit is not God conscious, the soul is actually over the human spirit. All right. In other words, it's called soul power. We use that term. So now the soul, there's five parts to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
We've got the mind, the emotions, the will, the conscious, and the self-image. Okay. And so when the when the person is unsaved, the soul controls the human spirit. The human spirit really has no access to God. Once a person is born again, they become a new creation,
mm-hmm.
and that means now the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. is functioning through the human spirit, which is controlling the soul of an individual.
I want to slow that way down because that's there's a lot of folks that's very fast. So basically, you said the person who's not a Christian, right?
Right.
They have a human spirit. What exactly is that?
Well, the human spirit is what makes me conscious and aware of spiritual things.
I see.
Okay? Spiritual things, the human spirit. And when it's disconnected or not connected to the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. it really has no control over anything. It's really operating under the power of the soul. Okay?
Wow.
It's kind of dormant.
Okay. So,
when you get saved, the Holy Spirit connects with the human spirit.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Holy Spirit to spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9-15.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the Holy Spirit, if I'm spiritual and living
mm-hmm.
according to God's word, God's will, God's ways,
mm-hmm.
To godliness, then now the Holy Spirit and the human spirit are controlling my mind,
mm-hmm.
my emotions, which become affections,
mm-hmm.
godly affections,
okay.
the will, the conscience, what's right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
what are my standards of what's right and wrong in this life, and then my self-image, right? This is a psychology class.
No, this is the Bible. Okay,
I'm just joking.
Because when you say think with God, okay, now you just gave me a process on how I can do that. Because the average person, we go to church, think with God, and we assume that means that the power to do it is with me, and also the desire to do it is with me. And maybe I don't have the desire, and I find myself not having the power to do that. But you're saying the human spirit, when I get saved, born again, the human spirit is made alive, right?
Yes.
And then the Holy Spirit comes in and through the human spirit directs my soul. And,
absolutely.
And then what you're saying is that, and then my body follows my soul.
Yes. And you know, sometimes I've heard people and they make this kind of wordplay or way of thinking things like God is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the new man. The Holy Spirit is not coming into the old sin nature.
Okay,
sorry about that. That doesn't take place. I become a new person.
Okay,
in Christ, I'm brand new. There's the old man and there's the new man.
Mm-hmm.
We see that in Ephesians 4:21, 22, 23, Colossians 3:9-10. We see it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any mm-hmm. man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
Right,
kainos katesis. He's brand new, and he's new because now He's got the person of the Holy Spirit who is now controlling. And by the way, every single moment of every day, I'm going to have to make decisions
mm-hmm.
to say I'm going to live in the new man or I'm going to just dwell in that old sin nature,
mm-hmm.
the old man. So it doesn't mean when I get saved, that automatically everything I'm going to think about is going to be from the new man. Hmm. There's a war going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The flesh lusts against the spirit, Galatians 5:19 through 23,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit against the flesh. And there's things that I don't want to do. I do them because I am controlled by the flesh, the old sin nature, the human mind separated from God, human emotions separated from God, human will separated from God, human conscience separated from God, self-image separated from God.
Wow.
That's where I need to be a brand new person. I'm a new person in Christ and living in the new man. And when people do not understand that, they're just trying to, some people are out there just trying to renovate the old man, mm-hmm. make the old man better. Isn't that what happens? I want to take you from the tree mm-hmm. of knowledge of good and evil to the to one side to the other, not to the tree of life.
Okay.
So we try to make bad people good.
Right.
And then we wonder why good people become bad.
Yeah.
And we can spend our entire existence in the psychological realm, in penal institutions,
okay.
helping people to get to know who they are by just taking them from one side of the tree to the other. But it's the same tree. That's why John the Baptist said, I need to take an axe mm-hmm. to the root of your tree.
Hmm.
Your roots got to come out. Those roots are no good. And so there's a lot of good that goes on, but it's good in the old sin nature. Mm-hmm. It's not good in God.
Wow.
And that can be, that's what the devil loves to use.
Mm-hmm.
Good works of man. Man can go to the moon, and I'm not against those things at all. Go to Mars. Man can feed the poor, but never mm-hmm. give them the bread of life.
Okay.
And see, so there's a lot of operations that are going on today with human good,
mm-hmm.
but it's not good that is sourced in the character and nature of God.
Does that go back to the part where you said about the Holy Spirit directing my human spirit, directing my mind?
Yes.
So no matter, I'm not a pastor, I haven't been to Bible school, but I am equipped because of what
yes.
you said as a new creation.
Right. Right.
I am equipped to actually think with God.
Absolutely, and I have an opportunity, if I'm in a church that's teaching the Bible
mm-hmm.
and having the life of the Bible, and I can read and study to show myself approved,
mm-hmm.
I can grow mm-hmm. spiritually in the new man. The new man
mm-hmm.
can grow. Sometimes people get saved, and they remain the same for 30, 40, 50 years. Nothing ever changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nothing takes place. There is absolutely no change at all.
So
they are saved, and they
right.
will go to heaven.
Right.
But, you know, saved so as by fire, the Bible says.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, great thoughts. We'd love to hear from you today on the Grace Hour. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060, or you can call us locally at 410-483-3700. You can email us with questions at gracehour.org. You can also reach us through Spotify, Google, Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher. We'd love to hear your comments also, too, on Facebook and YouTube. We'd love to hear from you today. This is a great topic. This is something that many Christians hear in church mm-hmm. and hear from other believers, think with God. Number one, they don't know how that happens. We just talked about that just now. How does it happen when an actual human being has the ability to actually think with God? And number two, what does it mean when I think with God? And what are the results in my life? That's a great question.
Fruit.
There'll be
spiritual fruit. Thinking with God will produce spiritual fruit. You know, the interesting thing, Pastor Ronaldo, is that the word repentance is mm-hmm. so misused today and so misunderstood. Repentance simply means metanoia, mm-hmm. changing your thinking.
Mm.
So when we tell people, people are shouting and screaming repentance at people mm-hmm. in some church services, and what they should be saying is like, I want you to know how God thinks so mm-hmm. you can change your thinking. Okay, you can't know how God thinks by somebody shouting down at you all the time and yelling about what you're doing. You need to change your thinking. I need the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 is very clear on that. Mm-hmm. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 55:8-10 is very clear on this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, therefore my ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
If my thoughts become your thoughts, my ways will become your ways. See, everybody's concentrating
wow.
on ways.
Wow.
You know, people's, the externals,
mm-hmm.
Behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They're behavior fanatics, you know. No, that's not how it happens. I worked in prison for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what we had to do was to initiate how God thinks to people. so they could change their thinking. A lot of people think incarceration mm-hmm. or some psychological initiation from some worldly perspective is going to change a person. Oh, it could make them a better citizen.
Okay.
So they go from being a thief to a businessman, but then they become a thief in their business. You know, they do it legally, per se. So what's happening here huh. is changing the thinking. And what we have as a way this world tries to get better is by changing their thinking, but it's still human thinking.
Okay.
It's not God's thinking. Mm. When God says, love one another, when God says to minister to people that do not minister to you, when God says, love them that hate you,
yes.
that's God's thinking. Who can do that?
Yeah.
Who can do that? Love those who hate you.
Yeah.
Pray for those who use you
mm-hmm.
and they persecute you. Pray for them.
Wow.
This is God's thinking. God's thinking is so contrary. And if I just go to a church that is not propagating God's thinking, they just have a church service, maybe something emotional. They are Christians. Maybe they've got that background and all that, but they don't train or teach people how to think. That's why Bible school is so important. What do you do in Bible school? You learn how to what? Think.
Yes.
It's not about, oh, I got to go to Bible school and go 3 or 4 years and graduate, and there's a lot of work and all that. What's happening is that we want to see a change of thinking.
Huh.
That's all. God wants to see a thinking change in people's life. That's why Jesus came, because he had the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Father's mind, you got the Son's mind, you got the Spirit's mind.
Hmm.
It talks about the mind of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 9 through 16.
Yes.
We can have the mind of Christ and the mind of the Holy Spirit. So very key.
So you're saying, I like what you said a few minutes ago. You said, you kind of said that the first step to repentance is thinking with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mental. But everyone teaches that repentance is always a behavioral move.
Right. It's
like,
not.
I'm going to repent. And the first thing you think is, I need to do something. But you're saying yeah. that actually before I even do anything, the first step to repentance, and I could even stretch that and say maybe restoration, like 1 John 1:9, the first step would be to think with God.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking one way. And in order for me to change my thinking, how does that process work?
Well, let's go back and think about the Apostle Paul. When he got saved, what did they think about him, the apostle? They were scared of him,
right?
Yeah. He had to think with God.
Yeah.
He had to learn how to think with God. And that comes through receptivity to God's thoughts.
Okay.
How can I think with God if I'm not in the place where I'm receiving how God thinks? I don't read my Bible. You don't know how God thinks. I don't go to church that teaches and preaches the word
mm-hmm.
systematically and precisely. How am I going to think with God? So I'm going to gravitate towards maybe good thinking in the world.
Mm.
Okay. And there's all kinds of people out in the world that are doing a lot of good things, but they're not sourced in God. And God really doesn't even look at them. He's not even concerned with them
wow.
at all. Because they're not coming from him as a source.
Mm-hmm.
But how important it is, you see throughout the scriptures, Philippians was one great epistle on thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 1:7, Philippians 2:5, Philippians 2:16 and 17, Philippians 3:1-3, Philippians chapter 4, verses 7, and then on. Paul kept talking to the Philippians. They needed to think with God.
Mm-hmm.
He's in prison. He's their apostle. Their pastor is sick and dying. And how are they going to think? Are they going to think in their emotions? Are they going to have situational thinking?
Okay.
Are they going to have, thinking based on their emotions? Are they going to have thinking based upon some system that they've heard about or they've learned about? And are they going to think with God? Are they going to think with God? And so this is so important. We can look at things that take place that are going on in this world, even in Christendom,
mm-hmm.
and we wonder why something would take place. Are people thinking correctly?
Hmm.
Are they thinking correctly? Why is there so little emphasis on missions? Because people don't think missions.
Wow.
Didn't we have a sign that used to say that?
Yeah.
Think missions.
Yeah.
Well, if people would think with God, the world is lost.
Yeah.
And then they started to think with God and receive God's thinking. God's thinking will produce activity. God's thinking produces, okay? This is important. When I mix faith with God's word, mm-hmm. his thoughts, his thinking, then something is produced,
mm.
okay? And that is a life.
Hmm.
I'm thinking with God. So people, when it comes to missions or evangelism, they don't think with God. So very few churches evangelize or are involved with missions. And you want to say what it is. Oh, there's not enough money. Oh, the world's too difficult. Oh, countries are violent. There's a lot of rejection of that. No, that's not it at all. What it is they're not thinking with God. If you would think with God, you could be like Hudson Taylor and go to China with 15 people and grow a long braid like the Chinese and get them to understand that you are just like them and you're getting to know them and you're thinking correctly. A lot of the missionaries that saw what Hudson Taylor did in China were not happy with him.
Really?
Because he was thinking with God and he was taking on Chinese garb, growing the braid and all that and learning the language very effectively. And other people thought that's not how you should do it. And we got to do it the old British way, English
way.
They
had a good idea.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. When you've been saved a long time, when is the first time you actually realized, I'm thinking with God right now? When you actually thought, oh, my God, I'm thinking with God.
The day I got saved?
That was the day.
I think so because I hate to use that word again. I think so. I remember in receiving Christ, I realized that all of the thinking that I had been doing was totally contrary to God. That was an original thought, and I needed to learn the Bible so I could understand how God thinks. So I used to pore through the Bible, reading the Bible day and night. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a church yet where I would be taught. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the one missing thing. Then when I began to read in the Bible how God thinks about the importance of a person being in church, then I said, God, you got to lead me to a church.
Wow.
And he led me to The Bible Speaks. He led me to Dr. Stevens. He led me to Grace Hour.
Okay,
he led me to Grace Hour. And, it was 1900 and let's see if I can give you the exact time it took place, 1977, Fort Pleasant Avenue, 2:00 in the afternoon in November. I turned the radio on and Pastor Stevens was on the air. And I pulled my car over to the side and I said, this man is thinking with God.
Wow.
And I just said, I'm going to follow the voice. So my brother and I followed the voice to Massachusetts. Sorry, Lenox, Massachusetts. And we followed the voice and we've been in the church ever since.
But let's say for right now, particularly since COVID, there's a big surge in mental health.
Uh-huh.
Huge concern. There's a big surge, and a lot of folks who did not have issues in that area now do, and a lot of folks that have issues in that area, it seems that they've heightened and have gotten worse. How does thinking with God apply to issues like anxiety, depression, loneliness? How does that help me?
Here's some things, fear and anxiety. You mentioned two things.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect love casts out fear. If I think about God's love and I read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 5, 3, I see agape mentioned 29 times. Mm-hmm. I begin to meditate on how God loves me. There goes the fear. I don't have to say, I got to cast out fear.
Mm.
No, what I got to do is think with God. I got to think with God. He loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect love, teleos love, casts out fear. Okay? Now, here comes anxiety. Anxiety is having... Very simply, you know, the merimnao means having divided thinking from God. That's what anxiety is. In all reality, people that live in anxiety do not think with God. So I've got to think with God. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. So now I'm going to think with God about peace and about who I am in Christ and not live in anxiety over every single event that takes place in my life. I'm going to think with God. So thinking with God is a solution for every problem. Every mental issue, every physical issue, because it begins with thinking with God. And then it's amazing what proper thinking can do to really help the body to be healthy.
Okay.
A healthy mind, a healthy body.
But
not in every case, of course. I don't want to.
Is it as simple as replacement? I mean, maybe what you're suggesting is like, okay, I've got my thoughts, and then I just replace my thoughts with God's thoughts. But in the way we live our life, that sounds very simple. Is it really that easy?
No, I've got a purpose in my heart, in my life, to continue to be a receiver of God's thinking. You know, the average born-again Christian, they say, reads the Bible 5 minutes a day. No wonder people can't think. No wonder we have a world where Christianity really has no power. Okay, sorry to say that.
Wow.
It doesn't have any power because it doesn't think with God. It's got a lot of emotions, but whatnot. I mean, out of 7.3 billion on planet Earth, they say possibly there might be 500 or 600 million born-again believers. And then how many of them think with God? Okay, they're saved, but do they think with God? I bet you it's not 10%. I bet you if you got 100 million people that think with God, you're doing something. Now, can that make a difference in this world? Of course it can make a difference in people's families, in their marriage, in their community, whatnot. But as far as the overall world is concerned, I don't think it can happen.
Wow.
Unless we see people begin to think, born-again people begin to absolutely think with God. How many people evangelize out of those 700 million Christians? How many, or and that's a maximum number, how many of them actually on purpose speak to people about Christ? You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but just saying this is the reason why we have so little thinking with God.
It might be that I speak about what I think about. I want to take a call.
You can do that.
From New York. Lauren, you're on the air and you're on the Grace Hour. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, gents. When you were talking about like changing the outward behavior of people, trying to, it reminded me of at least a couple times in a couple of the Gospels where Christ brought this up, but where you clean the inside of the house and then what happens is then when it's found empty, then the devil, he comes back with like 7 worse demons.
Yeah, that's totally related to a person that could be demon possessed, which is not saved. Okay, that person is not saved. If a demon can live inside of a person, they're not born again. It's impossible. So he's talking about an unsaved person, and maybe through some idea or movement, a demon is eradicated or leaves or is cast out, but they never receive Christ as their personal savior. If you receive Christ as your personal savior, a demon could not live in you. Now, there are some people that teach differently than that, and they are absolutely wrong.
I'm dealing with this is like, you know, people who are not Christians, they try to clean up, you know, the bad habits that they mm-hmm. have outside. Mm-hmm. They might even succeed. So mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. no closer to God. In fact, they're further from God because now they have another demon. They got the demon of pride now.
Yeah, it's well.
Look what I did.
You could call it the old sin nature of pride. I wouldn't. It could be the initiation of a demon of pride, but once again, it's the old sin nature. You know, a lot of people. They end up giving a lot of credit to the enemy when in all reality, the problem is their old sin nature. They're thinking incorrectly. They don't have a demon in them. They have an old sin nature that's contrary to God. They're thinking incorrectly. Their affections are off balance. Their will is wrong, making wrong choices. They have a conscience attached to things that are not with God. And they have a self-image contrary to God. So they're not thinking correctly. So, and that's even with believers. Even with believers, they're just not thinking correctly. And so they can come up with all kinds of very interesting ideas and all kinds of religious experiences and many things that are taking place, but it's, mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with the mind of Christ. That's why Paul said, once again, let this mind be in you. You need to make a decision to let the mind of Christ in. That's also 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. We need God's mind.
Yeah, like, I think that's part of Paul's problem in Romans 7. I want to read this to you, Pastor Billy, and comment on this. From Romans chapter 7, Paul says that, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not."
It's going to be the Holy Spirit that can perform it. Holy Spirit makes you a new person and gives you the power to perform the things of God.
Okay.
When the old sin nature tries to perform the things of God, that's what's known as religion.
Mm.
That's a religious experience. The old sin nature tries to be good. Mm-hmm. The old sin nature wants to think correctly. And they can think good, but it's not God. They can think good. Remember what 1 Corinthians said in chapter 12 and 13, mm-hmm. even if you give your body to be burned without love, it profits you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate self-sacrifice, you know how some of these people have just killed themselves in mm-hmm. protest or something, it means nothing to God at all.
Mm.
Has no effect at all. It can have a human effect, but it doesn't have an effect with God at all. Nothing can happen. So learning to think with God, that's why Bible preaching and Bible teaching is so vital. You got to start someplace.
Okay.
You know, a child learns to think. The child is born, and then slowly but surely, over the course of time, the parents and the school is developing their mind, mm-hmm. and they're learning how to think. And if it's not done in Christ, they learn how to think contrary to God.
We'd still love to hear from you. You can reach us at 1-800-338-7060, and you can reach us locally at 410-483-3700. You can email us questions@gracehour.org. You can also email us at YouTube and Facebook, and you can also, through the podcast, you can reach and tune us in and reach out to us in Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and even Stitcher. We'd love to hear from you. This is a great topic. Many Christians are scared to talk about thinking with God, and what Pastor Bailey pointed out so earlier in the program is that they think that thinking good is thinking with God. And that I'm not thinking bad, so I'm thinking with God. And there's a lot of bad that's done in the name of good, Pastor Bailey.
Well, the thing is that good thinking without God is more dangerous. We kind of can recognize evil thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see murder, we see crime, we see drug addiction, we see horrific things that take place in the world, wars and all kinds of things, whatnot. So we can recognize, yes, that's bad thinking, that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good thinking without God that's more dangerous, because it's unrecognizable by people sometimes. It's not recognizable. This is not from God. You know, I remember meeting a group of people in Africa, and all they were concerned with was feeding people that were hungry mm-hmm. and poor.
Which is not bad.
Which is not bad. But I asked them a question. Have you ever, because they were Christians.
Okay.
I said, do you ever give them the gospel, food for their soul? They said, no, we don't do that.
Wow.
I said, wow. That's interesting. And they didn't like me at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I just said, you know, like, you're wasting your time. You are feeding people. I'm just hoping that they will hear the gospel from somebody and learn how to think with God.
Mm.
So otherwise, they can go very well fed to hell.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but that's what it is.
Let me organize my thinking there. So thinking with God, you said earlier that receptivity to God's thoughts, getting his Bible. Number two, you also said being spirit-filled. Help me more with the spirit-filled part. I want to think with God. How does that work? Because if it's just me reading the Bible and I begin to think with God, or if it's some process of the more I read, and spirit get into that?
I think it's a progressive growth pattern in my life.
Okay.
That I'm born again, so I have the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Now, who wrote the Bible?
Which person in the Trinity?
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit in me connects with the Holy Spirit in the Bible.
Excellent.
So I read the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and it's spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. And now things can take place, and changes can be made with decisions that I make. Okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen like, first of all, it's a decision to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then believing what the Bible says, and then functioning and making choices based on what the Bible says. When I read about some of the things that are the works of the flesh, then I say, Holy Spirit, give me the ability to reject those
mm-hmm.
and not receive those and not live in those things.
Okay.
And so there's the Holy Spirit functioning in my life, who's made me a new person.
Okay.
This is so key to understand. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But just like a child
mm-hmm.
must be developed, child, young person, teenager, adult,
mm-hmm.
maturity, Christian needs to also grow. And that's very important, needs to grow. That's why Peter's last words were 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and in the epinosis, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I say to you is you need to grow. We all need to grow. We've never reached a place. I look at Christianity not as a pinnacle
mm-hmm.
that you try to stand on, but as a plateau
mm-hmm.
and that you're always growing. Mm-hmm. You're always growing. You're always having a place. I believe when you don't think you need to grow anymore, you're defeated. You're defeated.
So you're saying, okay, I'm putting all this together. You say, okay, I got the Holy Spirit in me. I have a human spirit. So you're saying that I'm taking in God's word, God's thoughts, through study or listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a regular guy, and I'm just, okay, I'm hearing the Bible. Then I'm being spirit-filled, right? And then I respond to faith, to the spirit, to what I heard from God's mind. And in that process, I'm now beginning to think with God.
Yes.
Okay.
I begin by thinking with God, and then, and how do I receive that thinking with God, from the Word of God, mm-hmm. from preaching and teaching that's Spirit-filled, and then changes begin to take place. I let this mind. Repentance is changing your thinking. So maybe I had certain thought patterns about how my marriage should be. Okay. And then I hear what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 about marriage and love. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to love my wife unconditionally. Maybe I loved her only when she made the macaroni correctly. Okay? Mm. No, I'm just joking. But I'm saying I begin to love unconditionally. I begin to see the importance of prayer. I begin to see the importance of studying my Bible, see the importance of reaching lost people. I'm thinking with God. If those things are not part of my life, here's simply the problem. I'm not thinking with God in those areas. And what could it be? If I'm smoking, I'm not thinking with God because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says.
Okay.
If I'm thinking with God, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be sucking on, cigarettes all day long. Mm. I don't want to be drinking alcohol. All right. I don't want to be doing things that are contrary to how God thinks. Okay. I don't want to live in jealousy. I don't want to be envious. I don't want to be upset if somebody does better mm-hmm. than me, even in the ministry, whatever. This is all a work of God.
Sure.
It's all God. So, things can develop where there becomes these strifes and these envies and these things that take place. And it's not thinking with God.
So here we go. We have Spirit. I like how you, the confusion can be the Bible and thinking with God. So there's a way that happens. It's like, okay, first is the Spirit. So first is really me and God. It's the Spirit. And then in the power of the Spirit, I go to God's mind. And then God's mind, which is the Bible, helps me in my mind to lead my body, which changes my behavior.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's actually a simple, very simple, easy process. My yoke is easy.
Uh-huh.
My burden is light. God's not trying to make things so difficult that you can't be spiritual.
That's where I could struggle, because sometimes there's certain topics in the Bible that's super clear.
Yeah.
What if it's something that's not so clearly defined? How do I think with God with that?
Well, I think that everything is clearly defined.
Okay.
I have to be honest with you.
Help me understand that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Maybe I've got to search the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
John 10. And I've got to look for God's thoughts on that subject. Maybe somebody could say this. It doesn't say specifically that you shouldn't smoke marijuana, okay? But it does say your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the word for drugs, pharmacy, pharmacy, whatever you can see, I can go through the whole scripture. Some people do not read the Bible. They read bits and pieces that they like.
Okay.
And then they live in the very patterns of thinking in other areas that they never ever engage it. They don't want to know what God says about marriage, because I'm looking to get away from my wife. That's how people are, I don't want to read the parts about giving and money because I want to hoard and keep my money. Mm. So I avoid those things. And even when they're preached, my ears are plugged.
Mm.
I don't really hear that part of it. So I have what we call selective submission. Watch this. Based on selective thinking.
Oh, wow.
Selective thinking produces selective submission.
Right.
And I'm very selective about what I read. Instead of where Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you, Acts 20, the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm.
I give you the whole counsel. So we go through the Bible, and we're going to read things in the Bible, in the scriptures, that will touch on every area. Why would God leave out any area and make it unclear? It's going to be very clear, very precise. Maybe it's not in this particular book, but how about in another book, How about in this book? So, we have a lot of thoughts on marriage, a lot of thoughts on how to handle money, a lot of thoughts on faith, a lot of thoughts on how to live a godly lifestyle.
Because that's the argument. The argument is always that, okay, well, the Bible doesn't address this part of my life, so then I have to lean on my own intellect. Or what does the Bible say about this? That's the big rap question, right? What does the Bible say about that? Or the person just says, well, I don't see where God is very clear on this topic.
Well, maybe they're not very clear on how much they read the Bible. That could be another thing.
Yeah.
And they need to be taught, maybe. So it doesn't mean that, okay, there can be areas that I'm not so sure of, but I study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not found a place in the Bible or a problem in life or in anybody's life that the Bible doesn't address one way or the other. I haven't found that. And I've been doing this since 1977.
Isn't it funny that we always We always question the mind of God, the Bible, more than we question our own mind.
Exactly, yeah. Your mind is contrary, or you know it's not even right, but you want to prove it by going to say, oh, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about that.
So I'm
It doesn't say you can't shoot heroin, you know? Really?
So obviously, I can't be wrong, so obviously the Bible's wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
And so that's important to understand. You know, the Bible is very clear. Love your enemies. Love the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, think about an area where you think, and maybe somebody could call up or write in and say, this area is not clear.
Yeah,
tell me what that is, and we'll make it clear.
You made a great point earlier that there's a motive behind it. It's not, you're not asking for permission.
Yeah.
No, you're not asking for inquisitive because you want to know. You're asking for permission to live in whatever that is.
Exactly.
But I like how you put that, because when people say thinking with God, the first question people have is how. Like, and you said it very clearly. It's me and God. I have fellowship with God by faith in the Spirit. And then I approach the Word of God with the Spirit of God. And then I get direction for how to think. Because if you just take this book without the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
You're not thinking with God.
Black letters on white pages.
Yes.
That's all it is. And so religious people look at this that are unsaved, and then they get self-righteous.
Interesting.
Or they get condemned and they don't bother with it again, saying it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do this, you know. But really, God's word towards us is life.
Mm-hmm.
The words that I speak unto you, they are words of eternal life.
Mm.
John 6:68. So yes. God's word is going to produce life.
Yes.
Okay, life in me. Not bios life, but mm-hmm. Zoe life, the life of God. And so how to think with God? Think of any area. You know, what does it say about any area? We touch it, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. How to handle your money.
Yep.
Tithing. The Bible talks about tithing. Yep. I don't tithe because I can't afford to.
Yep.
So you're thinking with you.
Yeah.
You're thinking with your situation. You're not thinking with God. Maybe if you started tithing, your money would increase rapidly,
mm-hmm.
whatever else, you know. And I think, like, I often think about giving to missions, you know, beyond the tithe and even just giving. And it's amazing. You cannot outgive God.
You got to think with God to do that.
You got
to
think with God.
Yeah.
You got to think with God and thinking with God. Like, somebody could tell me you need to see three doctors about this issue. Oh, really? I'm going to think with God and believe God. I'm not saying I'm against doctors.
Of course.
But you know what? I can listen to what a doctor says, but I'm going to think with God. You know, if I listened to doctors today, I would have never traveled again after I had the stroke in the year 2001.
Mm-hmm.
That was 20-something years ago.
I would have
never traveled again after that occurrence in West Africa.
Yep.
Because they said to me, this is dangerous to mm-hmm. travel, you know, that, you know, the synapses, something happened there. God put it back together. Mm-hmm. So I want to listen to them. I wouldn't avoid them. I want to hear what they have to say, but then I want to have God's word
mm-hmm.
be able to control my decision making.
Beautiful.
This is so important, you know. Like, how about this? Evangelism in a city that is difficult place. Oh, yeah? Well, you could go out to the country and somebody could gun you down just as well. I mean, hello? I mean, come on. I don't care. No.
Avoid the country. They're gunning people down.
No. I mean, I'm saying, like, some people say, I want to live far out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then a bear comes through your front window. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I understand that we want to be safe and all that, but I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's God thinks and then God leads.
Yeah.
So the thinking with the Spirit, then mm-hmm. what if I just think with the Spirit, but I never am led by the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm not led by the thinking of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I just think with the Spirit, and then I put it on the back shelf, and mm-hmm. it gets dusty.
Wow. You know?
I want to think with God and then be led by God.
Beautiful.
Think with God. And once again, the sources. I'm studying my Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm learning, 2 Timothy 3:14. I'm under a church that is sound doctrine and preaching and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I can even take Bible classes, you know. I'm receiving. I'm not just studying myself. If you just study the Bible and you don't have a church, you can become easily subjective.
Yep.
You become subjective. Then if you go to church and you never study the Bible, what if the preaching becomes strange?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
So we need both. We need the vertical with God and the horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We need the vertical and the horizontal. This is what makes a balanced Christian, you know? And when I don't have that, I'm in trouble. I don't need to go to church. You know, church is full of sinners and there's things that happen in the church. Imagine if Jesus said that.
Yeah.
You know, things happen in church. Things happen in his ministry, didn't it?
Yes.
I mean, Peter denied him. Judas was a devil. The rest of them doubted him. Thomas doubted him. The rest of them were deserters. Did he say, that's it? No more am I going to do this church thing anymore. No, he's the head and we're the body.
That's
so
great.
People's failures did not bring Christ to a thinking pattern where he decided, let's go another way with this.
What a great place to learn how to think with the Bible, church. Thank you for joining us today. We've had a great program. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when we're on the air and you can join us every day and call in and participate. You can subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And come back next week for another exciting week of the Grace Hour. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.